The first Sunday in Lent. Our first lesson is taken from Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and the righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I greet you once again this morning in the overflowing name of Jesus Christ this morning. There was a man who was lost in the desert without any water, and he was thoroughly parched. He was thirsty, and he could see nothing that would relieve his thirst, and so he kept walking. That's all he could do. And after a while, he got so thirsty, he just wanted to give up and just drop in his tracks. But he saw on the horizon something that looked like an old shack. And with nothing else to be able to go to, he started walking to the shack. Well, when he got there, he opened the door and he walked in, and there on the floor was a jar filled with clear, sparkling water. The man was elated. Now he could quench his thirst. So he went over to the jar and he picked it up. But underneath the jar was this note. And the note said, "Use this jar of water to prime the pump out back. When you have satisfied your thirst, refill the jar and leave it for the next person who will pass this way." Well, the man was so thirsty that he was now in a dilemma. What if he followed the instructions on the note and there wasn't any water in the well? What if he poured out the precious little water that he had and he got nothing in return? Was it even worth it to try? He had a decision to make. Should he save himself with the little bit of water that he had, or should he invest it and take the chance that there was something much more of that down deep in the earth? Well, let me ask you, what would you do if you were in that position? Now, I don't know how many of you have ever primed a pump, but it works that way. You've got to invest water in the pump so that you can get water in return. In our lesson today, we see the thread of what it means to give for the benefit of a greater good. And the giving here implies that we're giving something that is precious to us. Our time, our talent, our treasures. I would say probably for most of us here today, what is most precious is our time. We seem to have to do so much, or maybe we really just want to do so much to accomplish something in this fast-paced age that we live in, that to spend any more time doing something else is a great burden. And when we do have some not spoken for time, what do we want to do? Probably rest, probably put our mind on idle or something like that. I mean, many of us want to rest on the weekends too, don't we? Even to the point that we're not investing our time to come to hear the Word of God, to come receive the body of Christ here. Does that sound like a way that God wants us to live? Does that seem like a good way to thank God for all the blessings that He's given us in our lives? To make our lives better? I think not. You see, when you put the gifts that God's given you to His purposes, to accomplish something for Him, that's like priming the pump. Using our talents, using our treasures, using our time, even when we think that we have so little and it's really unimportant anyway, that, you know, for God to bless more than, you know, myself, remember that with God, there's no contribution so small that He can't supersize it. All He's wanting is to see a willingness on our part to invest it in His purposes. Now, I hope by now you can see I'm not just talking about financial contributions. Yes, they're important. They keep Epiphanies ministries going and other ministries that may be contributed to. But many people overlook their talents. Many times we don't think that what we do in our jobs or maybe in our hobbies is important, that those talents can be used for God's purposes. Many times we think, when we think of talents like me, I think of talents very often as people who can sing, people who can play instruments, people who are artistic and have all this talent that I don't have. You know? But we need to understand that God has given us our intellectual capacity. He has given us our ability to learn new things. He has given us our interest in other special areas so that not only can we provide for ourselves and satisfy ourselves and make ourselves happy, but we can enrich the kingdom of God with them too. These are talents. And everyone has some kind of a talent that can be contributed to God. Do you think that God just gave us these abilities that we have so that we can hoard them for ourselves? If you do, you don't know God very well. He gave them to us to be shared, to be multiplied by Him. Today, I want us to understand that by sharing our talents, whatever they may be, for God's purposes, allows Him to multiply them so that, you know, beyond whatever we can imagine. At the end of this month, like I mentioned, the fifth Sunday of March, we're going to have, yes, a get-together after this service, a cookout with hamburgers and so forth, to celebrate being together as the body of Christ here at Epiphany. But we're also going to have, as part of that celebration, a silent auction. Now, that silent auction are going to be your talents on display. Okay? Those talents will be auctioned off to provide funding for our children's ministries here at Epiphany, VBS, and the other things that we do here for the children. Your talents can be used for the greater good of enriching our children here. We already had someone who is an avid photographer who has donated a number of photographic prints to be auctioned off. We have someone who is an avid baker and wants to donate her skill to provide a special cake or some other kind of goodie for someone's special event. We have someone here who knows how to write resumes very well. So if you're looking for a job, if you're looking to another job, a promotion or something, he can help you by writing a resume, things like that. You can see that everyone has some kind of a talent that God can use for His purposes. Maybe it's fixing someone's car. Maybe it's painting someone's walls. Maybe it's providing babysitting for, 3-4 hours a night. Maybe it's teaching a child to swim. The list goes on and on and on. Please be thinking about what your talent is and how it might be used for this event. We even have a form in your worship folder where you can write down what your talent is and how it can be auctioned off for this event. Because all of your talents can be used to prime the pump, so that God can multiply those talents to provide a greater good, which in this case means bringing children to know more about Jesus and to learn more about Him. So why are we doing this? Well, it was the idea of Ted McKinley, who is our new stewardship chairman, and other people that helped him. And we wanted to do this for a couple of reasons. One is we wanted to highlight the fact that everyone has a talent that you may be overlooking. Okay? So those talents can be used for God's purposes, and they can be multiplied for God's purposes. Now, of course, the second reason is to use those talents to multiply financially and be able to pay and to provide more for our VBS programs and our children's programs and the things that we do for children. To me, that's kind of a win-win situation, I think. Now, what I want to do for just a couple minutes is bring Ted up here. Come on up, Ted. Ted's our, as I said, our new stewardship chairman, and he wants to tell us just very briefly about his approach to using our talents for God's purposes.
First thing I wanted to touch base with you was also in your bulletin today, there is a little handout about stewardship. So I'll start with that, and then I'll talk about talent as well. I used to have my own business, which was an advertising and marketing company down in South Florida. At that time, I was involved with a church, too. I was singing and serving. I used to think of my business and finances as separate from worship and my spiritual life. Then I got to know about Larry Burkett and his teaching about what the Bible says about money. He was he's from Florida too. He was a forerunner of Dave Ramsey that you might know. You'd have to be my age probably to know about Larry Burkett. Dave Ramsey used Larry Burkett's books and information to start his Christian-based financial programs. And so if you're familiar with anything Dave Ramsey has done, he wouldn't have been doing that kind of work without Larry Burkett basically getting that whole program started. So I began to study Larry Burkett's books and listen to his radio program he had on the Christian station. And I started a financial support group at our church. And a little bit later, I went to one of his seminars, and I was actually able to meet him and talk to him about my group and what we were doing. He was really interested and pleased with what we were doing, and he gave me a lot of inspiration and to learn what God says about stewardship. Unfortunately, he died of cancer. It's very sad. But he definitely led the way to new financial leaders like Dave Ramsey. Ray Bardell and I have put together this small booklet that's in your bulletin today, and I'll put some out in the lobby. It's about stewardship, which is the very first step in learning about how your gifts and talents and finances relates to your spiritual life. So I encourage everybody to take a look at it. Take it home with you. If you have another family member or somebody you want to share it with, please do so. The next thing I wanted to talk about was just talent and what Pastor Rich was just talking about. The talent I share, I guess obviously, is my music. Before I came to be doing that, I was a nightclub musician for several years, and I played and sang all the popular songs, Kenny Rogers, Billy Joel, Elton John. And as the years went by, I kind of lost my interest and became less satisfied and wanted to do something better and more meaningful with my music. So I had gone on a weekend spiritual retreat, which opened my heart and helped me to realize that I actually had a calling to do music. I had thought at the time that the only way you could serve the Lord was to go to seminary, become a minister, and then go out in the world and help people like in Africa or South America. But what I learned on that retreat was that God can use your talents to build his kingdom no matter where you are, no matter what you do. God is love, and I connected to that love because of my strong love and passion for music. God took that gift and put me to work serving him in many churches. My calling is to serve the Lord through music. Not only have many doors been opened to me at churches where I have served, but I have also written music for my choirs, which has been published by two international music companies. I have seen over 1,000 copies of my music go to church choirs worldwide, including Denmark, England, Ireland, New Zealand, Canada, and all throughout the United States. And I had two sales I thought were from Indiana, and then when I looked closer, it was actually India. I don't know anybody that has an English singing choir in India, but apparently they do. So the great commission for us is to go into the world and spread the gospel. But I never thought in my life that my talent would ever be that far-reaching.
Thank you, Ted. As a matter of fact, I want to mention the reason Dustin isn't here today is because he's using his musical talent and other talents that he has in the prison in Jefferson County with their Kairos weekend this weekend. So that's where he is, using his talent to multiply God's benefits to the men that are in that prison right now as we speak. So, you know, we're in a time of Lent right now, and that Lent is obviously is an lead up to Holy Week and Easter. And Lent is a time when we consider all that Jesus did for us so that we can have eternal life with him. And what he did was a selfless act of love on his part to think about our eternity because he loves us so much. And what he asks in return for that gift is that we love him back and that we love our neighbors. Jesus came and he gave his life for us. So I would think that we should want to thank him by using the gifts that he's given us in our lives to help other people, to enhance the kingdom, his kingdom on this earth. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in our second lesson today from his second letter to the Corinthians. He said, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." You see, I hope from the examples that we've given and Ted's given and so forth that you can see how other people can come to praise God, how people can come to learn more about Jesus by sharing the talents that you have that you maybe never even thought about. As Paul continues in our lesson, he says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Well, you remember back to our story, the story that I started off with this morning. What do you think the man with the jar of water did? Well, he made the choice to prime the pump. It was a good choice, because the water from the pump flowed freely. He drank his fill, and then he gathered as much as he could gather together to take with him on his journey. But before he left, he refilled that jar, and he put it down next to that note that he had found. But at the bottom of the note, he wrote this. He said, "Trust me, it works." He wanted to assure the next person who was going to come along that they could have the confidence to make the same choice that he did. So now we have a choice. We can take the little that God has given us, and we can consume it ourselves, or we can use it to prime the pump to produce something that will be so much more than we can imagine. You see, the choice, our choice, hinges on whether we trust God's word. When he says to us that if we give, he will enlarge the harvest. Oh, and by the way, you can trust him in that. It works. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for giving us what we need, our time, our talents, our treasures on this earth. Help us to remember that those gifts are not just for ourselves, but are to be used to enhance your kingdom. Help us to be good stewards of your gifts and trust in your word that you will give us a full measure, overflowing in abundance, that which we share for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.